When we're young, we move with freedom and confidence, with a great resilience to injury. But somewhere along the line, we develop poor habits and become more vulnerable to back pain. Back Pain Solutions features evidence-based and practical advice to help you take back control of your health and get back to the activities you love. This is your guide to better back health through movement. So join us as we demystify some of the commonly held beliefs about back pain and build your confidence to a stronger back the smart way.
And welcome back to our podcast, The Back Pain Solutions. And today we're going to talk about another case, especially a case of Ben's. And hello, Ben. How you doing?
I'm good, thank you, my friend. Yeah, it stopped raining here, so we're happy at the moment.
That's great. That's great. Yeah, it's not stopped, but it's still raining here.
Is it?
It's a mess. Well, we're gonna talk about your case today, Ben.
And yes,
I'm wondering, can you tell us a little bit more about this specific patient? Give us a bit of a background.
Yeah, so this client came to see me, relatively young guy, 45 years of age. He's a recruitment director, owns his own business. Obviously, pretty successful. He's got a background in healthcare in terms of caring. So there's some context there in terms of how he might have had to bend in the past and lift and support patients, but a lot of sitting now as a kind of day to day activity. He's had 30 years of back pain on and off. So it's that kind of classic background ache time to time, with flare ups, these kind of acute events, that classic, you know, my back's gone incident, that over the years has been managed with chiropractic care, various different therapists. And in this occasion, he's had an 8-month history of back pain, can't seem to resolve it. Okay. He's seeing a chiropractor weekly, certainly for a good number of months, he was seeing the chiropractor weekly. And they were doing very much hands-on care, passive kind of treatment, using the little kind of activator to gun, that, you know, the kind of click in that gets a little bit of movement through those joints. But it was an older chiropractor that may have been a little bit less kind of manual in terms of their own, you know, the impact on their own bodies. And therefore, things were a little bit more mild or light, if you like, in terms of treatment. A little bit of exercise guidance. And some of the exercises we would recommend, but certainly no coaching on those exercises, no challenging of those exercises, just to continually review how they're being executed at all.
No real movement guidance, you would say?
No movement guidance. Yeah, I think that's going to be a key that in this case, in terms of movement and spine hygiene. But came to see me a little bit frustrated. You would say the guy's in good shape. He goes to the gym. He's very active. He's got two children. And he was just becoming a little bit frustrated that it wasn't resolving and settling as he would like, and as had been the case in the past when he had these episodes and had some input. Yeah. So that's the background, if you like, to the case.
So can you tell me a little bit more about what you found, Ben, with the investigation, testing?
Yeah. So there was no suggestion of any neurological deficit in terms of symptoms or signs. So he had no radicular pain, a little bit into the groin, but not kind of your classic sciatica radiated down the leg, buttock pain, back of calf pain, anything like that. And that was...
So not suggestive of a typical hernia?
No.
Or anything that's pinching on a nerve that's causing
nothing
pain
like that
going down the
nothing,
leg or
nothing
in the,
obvious
in the buttock?
Yeah, nothing obvious. Okay. And I think there was one episode in the past where he had some kind of, I had some sciatica. But again, as we always know with patients, we take that with a pinch of salt. It seems to be a term that a lot of patients throw out there. Oh, I've got a bit of sciatica at the moment. And then when you investigate, you think, well, I'm not seeing that. I think as soon as patients have any kind of radiating pain, a bit of buttock pain or groin pain, they feel, oh, it's sciatica or it's nerve pain. It seems to be quite a common kind of go-to description. But no suggestion of any ridiculous pain at all.
We could say he has mechanical pain, for example. That's what we typically call it, right?
Exactly. Yeah, there was...
So there, more joint-like dysfunction.
Yeah, exactly that. There was some background aching. There were no red flags, no sign of infection. Blood pressure was good. As I say, you know, he was in good shape. Posture looked generally pretty good. You wouldn't really say there was any real kind of slouching through the back when sitting. That's a classic sign I'm looking for. And as soon as patients sit on the bench, bang, they just kind of slouch through that lower back. Not okay. Obvious, but definitely you could see a little bit of that. But no, all the reflexes, muscle strength testing, all fine, all good. Just good. This very specific low back pain, very stiff through the middle of the back, upper traps, neck, that kind of area was on a, is on a laptop a lot day to day, on a computer doing, you know, that kind of work or on the phone. But in terms of those classic tests, straight leg raising for nerve tension, negative, all fine there. Range of motion, a little bit painful on extension, a little bit painful on flexion, so bending forward. And the Kemp's test, the kind of leaning back and to the side, was positive both sides, more predominant on the right side. Slump's test was positive for pain in the low back, so when he's kind of slouching through that lower back, but no pain down the legs on extension of the legs. And, you know, and could move pretty easily without obvious pain.
Okay. So we could say he has a mechanical dysfunction in his lower back, and not an acute episode, but maybe a chronic sort of subacute situation. It's just not going away.
Yeah.
If there was a flare up before he came to see you.
Exactly. So there was definitely no acute pain. He wasn't antalgic. He wasn't moving in a kind of uncomfortable way, a guarded way. There wasn't huge amounts of muscle tension there, reactive muscle spasm. It was just this kind of persistent background ache, a little bit sharp on certain movements, worse towards the end of a day after work. That was his description. So it was certainly, and for a lot of patients, there would have been a lot of patients that probably just put up with it. And this is one of the key things we're trying to, of course, educate on, or certainly with the clients I see, don't wait, don't leave it. This guy was being proactive, had been over the years, but particularly in this case, it just wasn't resolving. He wasn't getting on top of it. He wanted to train pain-free, and he was just frustrated.
Ben, can I ask you what, because you say, you know, we advise people not to wait. What could happen if they carry on like that and they don't actually do anything about that background ache, typical mechanical dysfunction situation?
Well, I think the thing with any pain or any disease or any problem, I think depending on different cultures, different environments, different experiences, the reaction to these things differs. There's no doubt. We have to bear in mind context and background and things. But like with anything, you know, if we leave it, it can get worse and worse and worse. And what we don't want is a simple problem becoming a much bigger issue as a result of a lack of proactivity. And I say to patients, you are worth investing in your health. We have to be far more proactive and preventative with our health. And, you know, if we look at, you know, America and the Europe, the rates of obesity, diabetes, all these other health related issues are such that we're ticking time bombs, a lot of people. If we can be preventative, proactive, we'll take a hell of a lot of pressure off the healthcare systems in respective countries, and we'll live far longer, but far, far more optimal lives. We're living longer, we're not living optimally. We're not living with good health, in my opinion. And so, you know, if we relate that specifically to the back, a bit of an aching pain in the back, you could go and see someone like myself, yourself, get some good guidance, some education, some exercises, and you might never need to come back if you're young and you take that advice and importantly, you apply it on a day-to-day basis. And if we just could get people more ingrained in that thought process, then the back pain would not be the issue that it is. But the problem we have is that patients come to see us when they're in pain and when they're in often significant pain. And a disc that was a bit of a disc bulge that is common, if we, you know, I say to patients, if I took an MRI scan of 100 people on the street today that are not suffering pain, a good percentage will have a disc bulge. That's okay, but they're not in pain at the moment. Let's not let that progress to be inflamed and then be problematic. So, ultimately, problems can become worse than they are when you're just feeling a bit of stiffness. The classic one as well is, I did something in the gym, or I did a long journey and my back felt a bit stiff and I did nothing about it. And then a couple of days later, bang, my back went. It's that, you know, listen to your body, stiffness, discomfort, listen to your body and apply some very simple things. And you can manage a lot of cases very, very effectively.
So I would say it's a matter of being educated on a topic, educated on a topic, and know how that applies to your body, your body type.
Yeah. Yeah. Without a doubt.
And added responsibility, I would say.
Yeah. Responsibility. And I think responsibility is a big one. You know, I think we have the brilliant NHS in the UK, which is fantastic healthcare system to look after patients with disease, injuries, or involved in accidents. But we've got to take more ownership ourselves. You know, let's take pressure off the NHS by looking after our health and eating well and moving, et cetera, so that then we're not putting the pressure on these healthcare systems. And that is the responsibility of the individual. I feel sometimes because we have a free healthcare system, free at the point of entry, does that make people complacent that if I have a problem, I'll just go and see the doctor and I've got free healthcare? But that can't be true when you look at America and rates of obesity, where it is an insurance-based system. And I know it's more insurance-based where you are over in Holland. And you'll see the same thing. So we have to be more responsible. Yep. We have to take more ownership. And I think part of the role for me now is a bit of accountability. Are you doing your exercises? Yeah, I've tried here and there. Okay, let's have a look. You'll mention an exercise. I forget which exercise is that. Okay, that gives me a good idea that they haven't done the exercise. Or the execution of the exercise is completely wrong. You haven't done the exercises. And there's no doubt, you'll say this as well, Jacob, the patients that commit to the exercises, commit to the plan, get better than those that don't. It's just fact.
Yeah.
Fact.
And very fast as well.
Yes. In some cases, very, very fast. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, Ben, what did you do with the beginning of your treatment? How did you start?
So first of all, we did, of course, a very good examination, thorough examination. We ruled out the red flags. We did the neurology, all fine there. Did our classic orthopedic testing. And there were no doubt, kind of, as often the case, some positive signs of a bit of facet joint irritation, positive signs of some disc pain. Very rarely is it one specific joint in one specific segment that's causing the problem. So there's often that kind of varied pattern with these patients. His glutes weren't activating very effectively when he extended through the hips. A lot of that was coming through the low back. There was a lot of tightness through the low back. There was definitely some discal pain, a little bit of restriction in the low back. So there were some signs there that could certainly warrant treatment in terms of manipulative therapy. It wasn't a very acute kind of hot disc, as it were. Very rarely would I adjust those patients. I just can't see the benefit of doing that in terms of introducing rotational forces when something's really acute. But this guy...
Would you let the inflammation lower first before you start something like that?
I always do now. Yeah, my approach with those patients that are really hot, a lot of it's prone work. Yes, we'll use the blocks, particularly when there's some tension through the paraspinals. I find that works very effectively, but very much gentle, kind of some soft tissue work and keeping them in the prone position, doing some soft tissue work around the glutes to allow things to just relax a little bit. And truth be told, that the the impact of the hands-on treatment in those cases is probably minimal. It's more the placebo effect of doing that in some cases that is helpful. But it's part of a package of care that involves educating on the daily spine hygiene and the movement patterns that allow that hot disc to settle. In this case, we're not dealing with a hot disc. We're dealing, I'm sure, with a bit of disc pain. And so we always start with a consultation examination first. So we would initiate treatment on the next session. And the reason I do that is I want to introduce that patient to some fundamentals because I want to see how that impacts pain versus doing some treatment and introducing some exercises and things at the same time. Well, what's influencing the pain? It's very difficult to establish if you're doing so much at one time. So some of the simple things that we discussed on that first visit, having essentially as a working diagnosis, diagnosed some disc pain, no doubt a bit of a central disc bulge. Yes, some facet joint dysfunction, some stiffness down there and some soft tissue tension. Very simple mechanical stuff, but that disc, as always for me, is the key area that I want to manage first, because by preventing that really acute inflammation, we can do a lot more a lot sooner and get a lot of progress very quickly, as you kind of indicated. So
yes,
we first of all discussed a daily routine. Be aware that we're more vulnerable during those first 30 minutes of the day when that disc is super hydrated. So during those first 30 minutes, gravity takes effect, it squeezes the fluid out of the discs, and we're that bit more vulnerable. So we discussed, how are you getting out of bed? And like with a lot of patients, it's sitting bolt upright in bed. Immediate flexion through the low back. So picking the scab is the analogy, where we're aggravating the underlying problem potentially as soon as we wake up. And then often we're going and sitting down for some breakfast or whatever it might be. And again, just putting that pressure through the disc. So we just discussed a very simple plan. Be aware of that first 30 minutes a day. Let's get up, get safely to the floor. Well, first of all, get safely out of bed. Let's learn to rotate onto our side, legs out the side of the bed, get out of bed so that you're keeping your back in a more neutral position, first thing. And then let's lunge to the floor. Let's have a good movement pattern to keep that back in neutral, getting down to the floor, and just do some very gentle 5 to 7 repetitions of the cat camel. And then try not to sit for the first 30 minutes of the day. Go out and have a walk if you can. And we discussed walking and activation of the glutes and getting those arms swinging, just so that we start to kind of introduce our back to the day, if you like, get it ready for the day. And also, I think there's a mental health benefit to getting out and walking in the morning, because we're just all so manic in our lives now that we're getting up, going straight to work, and we just don't get a bit of time to reflect. So I think there's a benefit to that as well, in that just healthier lifestyle choices first thing. And then,
and so I guess there's a reason why you give those specific things to him to do in the morning.
Yes, because a lot of the times for him, he wasn't getting out of bed in an optimal way. And a lot of the times he was sitting for breakfast and don't jump in the car, either going to the gym or going to work. So I just said, look, let's just take a step back and not have such a manic morning and not introduce potential flexion in your lower back, first thing. And then all we're going to do throughout the day, try and vary your posture as much as you can every 20 or 30 minutes, getting up and moving around, just so we're not allowing that back to start to slump in a chair. Because even with the best chair in the world, often patients start to kind of slouch and slump. And there's no doubt when he was sat on the bench, he slouched a little bit through the low back. It wasn't obvious, as it is in some cases, but it was enough that you could just see that little bit of flexion. So we educated him on neutral spine and bracing and just a better seated posture, but also kind of caveated, if you sit with a nice neutral spine for 8 hours, 10 hours a day without moving, that's not going to be hugely helpful. Got to get up and move around.
It's too much.
Exactly. Too much. And let's get you out walking. And we just introduced that as a simple daily hygiene plan between the first session and then when we followed up and saw him on his next first kind of treatment session. And, you know, immediately, On the end of the session, first of all, and I've received this feedback countless times. I've never been told these things before. I've never in 30 years been told this. Basic stuff, simple stuff. And so he felt far more confident that, okay, there are things that I can do outside of here that will help my back versus just relying on you to do the work. And I explained this to patients, this is a collaboration. This isn't all about me solving your problem, because if you do things outside of here that are aggravating the problem, how are you going to get better? You're just going to rely on me treating you regularly, and that's not what we want.
And isn't it amazing how you sometimes see after that first treatment, them coming back in the second treatment, just with those basic tips, the basic advice you've given them with their sitting posture, how to get out of bed, maybe the soldier stance position, you know, all ways where you can minimize pressure through the back, you know, going for the walk in the morning. Huge. And they come back and you can see that there's just a change in their faces. They've come to a realization that what they've been doing has been massively in the way of them getting better.
It's
for a very long time.
Huge, huge, huge impact, you know, staggering impact in many cases. And, you know, some of it takes more work than others because you've really got to train them on that movement and correct that movement consistently. And of course, the frustrating ones that get the ones that get better quite quickly and then just stop doing it. And then they come back and say, oh, it's a nightmare. It's terrible. And you think, okay. And they, you know, they've just stopped doing it.
Yeah.
But he was very, very pleased. And the key for me takeaway was that after 30 years, he just hadn't been educated on some very, very simple things that he could do every day that cumulatively will help him manage his back forever, not just because he's suffering now, but forever.
Yep.
And talking about bracing. And as well, he was going to the gym, he sees a PT, very little focus on abdominal work, on core work. And when he was doing it, he was doing a lot of sit-ups. That was a common exercise for him. So often would train more so in the morning and he would do sit-ups. So that was certainly not helping. So we cut that straight away.
Got it. So more complex movements in the gym.
Yeah.
That's what you see a lot of the times.
Yeah. And we just started to talk about introducing a core workout that he could adopt into his lifestyle, into his training habits that would give him focus and build resilience, but also, as we know, build that stiffness that ultimately will contribute to better execution of exercises in other areas, whether that be a chest press or whatever you might be doing. Then, you know, that stiffness, that real control and the locking down of the lats and the chest on the core gives you a huge sense of kind of power and control, in my experience. And when you get patients to do it, they really, really see the difference and they feel much more resilient and far less vulnerable. And that's hugely rewarding when they get it.
So that was the second treatment. And then
that was just on the first. When he came back on the second, already better, just immediately better. Very simple stuff that he cumulatively had done for around 4 days, already had it, you know, felt an impact. Still a bit of stiffness, but he just wasn't feeling the same levels of pain. And it was all due to that awareness of posture and keeping neutral spine.
And Ben, can we say that, you know, just for people, for the listeners, just to get perspective here, there's almost no way that he would be better by the second treatment. I mean, he would have some improvement, but for a chronic injury like that and tissue damage that's been, you know, have been going on for a long time, you need time to recover. So it's going to take weeks to a few months for full recovery. Can we say that?
Yeah. In general terms, there's no doubt, you know, it does take time. And there's no doubt you're still suffering, you know, some discomfort, but I think a lot of it was the reassurance he'd got and the guidance he'd got that he'd never experienced, but just that cumulative load on his back from sitting a lot at a desk was just minimized and was just giving him immediate relief alongside some of pro-lying, just lying on the tummy, letting that back relax to the floor and just taking a bit of pressure off the muscles in the lower back just had a profound effect on him. And just, okay. It was, you could tell he was going to be the kind of patient that was just absolutely going to stick to those, you know, stick to the plan in terms of adopting those things.
He wanted to get better.
Exactly. He was motivated to get better. Yeah. 100%. Yeah. Yeah. And so on the
second, how did it progress, man?
So on the second visit, we did do some manipulative work, particularly through the mid thoracics. He was very stiff through that area. We wanted to loosen that off. And he was in the background getting a bit of tightness in the thoracics, a little bit of neck pain, again, a lot of laptop work. So not directly necessarily related to the low back, but certainly we want to look holistically with patients and look at optimizing musculoskeletal health as well as other areas of health with the advice that we give. So we did some manipulative work, we did some soft tissue work, but very much then focused on the McGill Big Three, the modified sit-up, the side plank, the bird dog, but really spent some time coaching on that. And it was quite obvious on the one side, particularly with the bird dog, he was far more stable than on the other. He definitely drifted off to the side when he was trying to extend one leg. So there was definitely that side-to-side difference. And so we really spent some time on coaching those exercises, did some soft tissue work, did some manipulative work, but again, just reiterated, keep doing the daily spine hygiene, keep doing practicing neutral spine, keep practicing the bracing technique, just keep practicing those fundamental things that cumulatively over a lifetime will give you a better, healthier back. And then from there, we've probably only seen him around eight times in a few months now. But within the fourth session, you know, 90-95% better. And again, a lot of that was just taking the load out that back cumulatively. But when I recently saw him,
How long was it till the fourth treatment?
We were seeing him in this case once a week. We weren't being super intense. So I saw him as a consultation. I saw him around three, four days later for his first treatment. And then we had a session a week after that for cumulatively over 4 weeks. And then we just kind of started to increase the gap because I was pretty confident that I didn't need to be any more intense with him than that. But now we're a couple of months later and his message to me when he last saw me was my back has been the best it's been now than it has been in 25, 30 years. And that is, a very, very, very positive outcome to what has been pretty simple advice that I give to everybody. And how much did the hands-on treatment have an impact? I'm sure that there was some benefit there in just reducing that little bit of stiffness in the low back. No doubt it helped with the thoracic spine and neck. You know, I think there's a lot more benefit to that treatment up in that area, particularly when someone's at a laptop and things all day and got tightness through the traps. But when it comes to lower back, the active-based stuff, the daily spine hygiene is so, so much more important, in my opinion. And cumulatively... Yeah. Being consistent, being very kind of not strict with it. We didn't want to make him fear moving and bending through the back. We're designed to move, but just limiting it, just controlling it, just being consistent with it has had a profound effect.
Because when you...
Very happy.
Yeah. Because when you limit it, I mean, that's great. I just want to say that's great, Ben, to hear the success that you've had. Obviously, with someone who really wanted to get better and followed your program, allowed you to really guide them, because it's really, like you said, it's a cooperation of your guidance and someone who's ready to take responsibility, and then you have an amazing outcome generally.
Yes.
But I just think that's it's a great message to a lot of people, because I have to say it's not always that simple.
No.
Sometimes it's a bit more complicated, or sometimes there's some nerve tension, or maybe there's some degeneration. There can be some other aspects that's making it more complicated. You may need more time, or may need more intervention. You may need more passive treatment. But from you know, it just shows how someone who's had pain and discomfort for so many years, with very basic knowledge but very essential knowledge, can get so much better so quickly, because it was once a week, 4 weeks, and he was 95% better.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a great message.
It is exactly that.
To a lot of people who are, for it.
No, I was just going to say, that was, you know, when we discussed it, the reason behind discussing this case, because is that common? No. But does that give you a sense of the impact of some of this simple stuff? Yes. And for those that are really suffering, have been suffering for a long time, even if, you know, after that short period of time, you could be 20, 25% better. You know, that's a hell of an improvement.
Yeah.
But it's the cumulative effect of doing things that in those cases will have an impact. And it's being patient, because, you know, I've got a lady that's come in recently who, very acute disc. And I said, look, you know, we could be looking at a good 6 weeks to really get this inflammation down and get things settled. And there's a danger there that you almost put the patient off a little bit, because they want more of an impact more quickly. And like I said, we're not expecting you to be in this amount of pain for that long, but you've got to give it the time to settle. Because unless you do that, then when does the problem come back, or when could it progress? We need you to be, you know, to be better for good. And that involves just good management, patience, and persistence and commitment.
And also from your side, if you speak to someone like that, just to get them down where they're very acute, inflamed in the first phase, to a point where you can really work with them. If you're honest, and obviously you come across as someone who knows what you're talking about from your experience, people will go with it if you tell them it's going to take 6 weeks just to get the inflammation down.
Yeah.
And but that's the honesty that you come with, the sincerity, and people, they feel that, they go with it. And if they go with it, you've got someone that you can work with, and generally we get a good outcome, don't we?
Yeah, 100%. We do. And ultimately,
is there anything else you want to add here, Ben?
I think we're in a good place to close. I think the take home really was that if you are suffering, and if it's been a long period of time, then reflect on what treatment and advice you're getting, because there were some very simple things that were missing from a number of practitioners for a long period of time that have clearly had a big impact. So don't just accept what you're getting. If you're not doing the active work, if you're not doing the daily spine hygiene stuff, if you haven't been educated on that, then somebody's missed something, and you need it, and you need it. So you should always be educated. That should be a part of the practitioner's role, to educate you and give you the confidence that you can do a lot of things yourself. And he definitely was grateful for that. There's no doubt.
I can't agree more. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Thank you, Ben.
No, you're welcome.
Thanks for the case. And head over to our website, have a look, listen to our other episodes. And we'll be coming with some more recordings.
Yeah. And take a look at our free ebook. Take a look at the information. Get in touch if you need us.